Amen. Father, I just thank you this morning for this wonderful congregation. I thank you for the leadership of this church, the pastors that you have provided as covering over this congregation. I pray, O God, that as we share from your word this morning, that God, you will use it in all of our lives, in my life, as well as all of our lives this morning, Lord. We just commit this time in your word to you. We believe you, God, that it will be also a time of transformation in all of our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who love his appearing. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, Luke reveals to us that Paul's first imprisonment in Rome was experienced in a comparative freedom of house arrest. He lived for 2 years at a home. There were soldiers there, but literally it was a home that he rented at his own expense. He lived there for 2 years. He continued to preach and teach from that home without hindrance. Amazingly, many people came, even in large numbers, to the home to hear him minister the word of God. It was an amazing time, actually. And surprisingly, unexpectedly, after 2 years, he's released from prison. And he begins to travel again. He leaves Rome and he begins to travel. He travels extensively. He goes to Crete, where he leaves Titus to minister to the island of Crete. He goes to Ephesus, where he leaves Timothy to pastor the church in Ephesus. He goes to Colossae, where he visits his old friend Philemon. He goes to Macedonia, and while he's in Macedonia for an extended period of time, he writes the book of 1 Timothy, and he also writes the book of Titus. So the book of 1 Timothy is obviously written for Timothy, who is now in Ephesus, and the book of Titus is written for Titus, who is now in Crete. And so he travels from there. He goes to Nicopolis, and possibly even to Spain, according to Romans chapter 15. He travels back to Ephesus and spends some time there with Timothy, and then off to Troas, where he stays with a good friend of his by the name of Carpus. And while he's there, he is rearrested very, very quickly. So quickly, he doesn't have time to grab a coat or a blanket or anything. No, and he had to leave all of his books, all of his manuscripts, everything that he had to leave all of that at this time, and he's taken back to Rome, but this time he's not in rented facilities. Now he is in the dark dungeon called the Mamertine Prison. There's a hole in the ceiling for light and ventilation. No one really knows where he is at. A man by the name of Onesiphorus seeks for him diligently. Finally, he finds him in one of those dark, dank prison rooms, chained to a wall. He's cold, he's lonely, he's bored. And by the time that Onesiphorus finds him, he's already experienced his first hearing. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it tells us here in verse 16. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. So Paul intimates there that they were actually going to throw him to the lions, and for some reason he is spared of that. But he knows that his time in prison is now short, and he's waiting for his final hearing. He knows already what will happen at his final hearing. He will be judged as guilty. They will take him 3 miles out on the Ostian Way, and there he will be beheaded. And so he knows that's soon to happen. All right? So that's the context of 2 Timothy. This is not simply some nice, light, frilly leather letter that Paul is sending to his good buddy Timothy. This is literally his last words and testament. These are the final words that Paul is going to share with a friend of his who traveled with him for probably 15 years or more. So what does he focus on? What does he emphasize? As he looks back over his life of ministry, the first things he emphasizes is, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. The word fought here means to enter a contest, to contend with an adversary, to struggle and strive with strenuous zeal, to do it with a goal. The goal in a fight like this is not simply to fight the fight, but to win. All right? And I like the terminology that Paul uses here, because he says, literally, when he says, I fought a good fight, it literally means I fought a beautiful fight. I fought a beautiful fight. Some of us like, UFC, some of the fighting that goes on today. Well, Paul is using that kind of terminology here when he says, I fought a beautiful fight. He recognized that his life, from the time that he received Christ through all of his life of ministry, he was in a battle. You are in a battle. I'm in a battle. I mean, it's the reality, a conflict, a contention, a battle. We are in a war zone. How many are aware of that? Yes. This is not some tea party. This is not some ice cream social. You are literally in a battle. And the battle rages on a regular basis in all of our lives. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 13, Paul says that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the reason he tells us that is because there is no way you and I are going to be victorious in the battle that we face without the strength of the Lord. You cannot do it in your own power. Amen. You cannot stand against the work of the enemy by your own strength and by your own power. We need the might of the Lord. And so he tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you are able to withstand, so that you are able to resist, so that you are able to oppose the work of the enemy. For, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And the word wrestle there literally means hand-to-hand combat. And so you and I are in this battle on a regular basis. This is normative. Feeling like you are in a struggle is normative Christian living. Being in a battle is not something that is unusual or like, why in the world is this happening to me? It's happening to you because you are a Christian. This is happening to you because we have an enemy who wants to defeat us, who wants to stand against us. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Thanks be unto God. Let me read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us here in verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Weapons of our warfare are not what? They are not carnal. They are not in the flesh. But they have divine power to destroy strongholds. There are areas in your life and my life that are potential strongholds. It's interesting, going back to the Ephesians portion of Scripture, is that Paul says there are some days that are more evil than others. How many are aware of that? You know, there are some days that are pretty good, frankly. We're not in the middle of struggle every moment of every day. But there are some days that are more evil. There are some days where we are under more attack than other days. And 2 Corinthians reveals to us where the main attack is. Where is it? It's right here. It's right here. It's in your mind. It's in your mind. You know, and so that's where the battlefield is. And Paul says, we bring these thoughts into captivity to obey Christ. Amen? Amen. So the reality is, you and I experience temptation. Temptation is not sin. How many have ever had a thought you thought, where in the world did that come from? Or how could I think something so evil? So ungodly. I mean, there's been sometimes right in the worship service, before I'm going to preach, all of a sudden there's this whoop. This thought comes into my mind. What am I going to do with that thought? I'm going to bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to kick it out in the name of Jesus. I'm going to say, I am not going to allow this to have authority over me. Amen? Amen. You're not going to embrace that thought. If you embrace the thought, all right, it becomes sin in our lives when we embrace the thought. But when we resist it in the name of Jesus, we have authority over it. Praise be unto God. God has given us that authority in the name of Jesus to be able to stand. You do not have it in your own strength. If you try to do it in your own power, it will not work. You will not be victorious. And so we are only in authority if we are what? Under authority. You got to walk on your knees every day. You got to walk with a sense of dependence every day. You have to walk with a sense, I need the presence of the Holy Spirit every day. I need the power of God in my life every day. Amen? I need the Word of God in my life every day. I need all of this in my life every day. Do you know your propensity? Do you know? How many know the area that you're weak in? Well, the rest of you are lying. You do. We all know. We all know where, and I know where I have my propensity as well, but it's none of your business. All right? So we all got it, right? We all got issues, all right? But you got to know what those are. And so when it comes, you say, I know what that is. No way. No way will I have authority over me. No way will I give room to this work of the enemy in my life. I want you to bow your heads with me for a minute right now. There's nothing to be ashamed about concerning being in the battle. But some of you have come into the house of God this morning, and you are right now in the midst of a battle. You are right now in the middle of a fight. It's normative. Happens to all of us. You're here this morning, and you're in the middle of the fight. I want you to stand. We want to pray for you right this morning. Amen. Come on. Come on. Amen. That's good. That's good. That's good. Because you see, we all stand. We all go through battles. You may not be going through that. Some of you are sitting today because right now this isn't that. You are not right in the middle of a battle today. And that's good. That's praise be unto God. I'm grateful for those times, amen, that we're just singing songs and we're praising God and everything's glorious. But there are times we're in a battle, and we're going to lift our hands to the Lord right now, and we're going to claim our victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we take authority in the name of Jesus right now this morning. We stand against the work of the enemy that would come against us this morning in Jesus' name, and we acknowledge greater is he that is in us that is he that is in the world. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ today. And we thank you, oh God, that we can take every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we do it right now, this morning, in Jesus' name. We say, Satan, be gone in the name of Jesus. Lose all of your power in the name of Jesus over the lives of your people this morning. Set them free, oh God, today to be what you want them to be, to do what you want them to do. And may all the shackles be broken this morning in Jesus' name. And we give you all the praise for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated because I'm not done. All right. All right. So praise be unto God. God knows. God knows what we go through. Jesus is touched with the feeling of your infirmities, having been tempted in all points. Think about that for a minute. There's nothing that you've been tempted with that Jesus hasn't been. He can relate to everything you're going through. And you can walk victorious. You can bring those thoughts into captivity. You can deal with these things that would try to have authority over your life. You know, there's the thought area. There's the 1 Peter chapter 2, the passion of the flesh that wars against our soul. No wonder Jesus told us, and I pray this every day. I encourage you to slowly walk through the Lord's Prayer as a part of your devotional life every day. I do it every day. And what does Jesus tell us to pray? What does he tell us to pray? He tells us to pray, lead us not into what? Temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He ends the prayer that way. You know, and so we need to recognize that needs to be a part of your prayer life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So Paul says, I fought a good fight. So you look back, a lot of battles. A lot of battles, but I fought a good fight. Praise God. And then he said, I finished the race. You know, anybody can buy the shoes, buy the running outfit, look good, right? Anybody can look good for a block, run short, you know, look like you got it all together. It's another thing to finish the race. It's interesting, the race here is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And you're in a race, and so am I. Your race is not my race, by the way. My race is not your race. Paul said, I finished my race. I finished my race. Those that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. So we don't compare ourselves with other people. We don't try to run somebody else's race. Don't try to be somebody you're not. Don't try to run the race that you think maybe look spiritual. You run the race God has given you. Some of you have a secular race that God has you to run, and he's put you in that mission field. And don't think, well, you know, I'm second class because I'm not in the ministry. Forget it. You are in the ministry. We're all in the ministry. Amen? Amen. So that's the reality. And we need to finish our race. We need to run it to the end. We need to come to the finish line, to carry it out to conclusion. His race, your course of life. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, run with self-control. Don't run aimlessly. Don't box like someone that doesn't know how to box. You know, you need to know how to strike your target. Huh? You're not just flailing in the air somehow. You're not just running in circles, but you have a race to run. You have a fight to fight. You have to know what it is. Discipline your body. It's interesting. Paul talks about this in his own life. He says, lest when I've preached to others, I myself am disqualified. I myself didn't stand the test. I'm an old dog now. Some of you are young pups. I'm an old dog. I'm 72. Older than your pastor. Yeah, so I'm probably older than most of you in this room. And I've seen, I pastored 35 years before I started with Great Commission Media 14 years ago. I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of guys that were real smart, real gifted, real anointed, but they didn't finish the race. They ran the race, but they never finished it. It's a tragedy. I could name names, not going to. I could name names of people that have had phenomenal, huge ministries, but they didn't finish the race. Oh God, may we not just run. May we not just fight. May we finish the race. May we go to the end. You know, at 72 years of age, I can't drop my guard. I got to be as careful today as I was 30 years ago. It doesn't make any difference how old we are. I thought it would. I thought once I got old, I didn't have to worry about that anymore. No. You can't drop your guard. Amen. You gotta finish the race that God has called you to run. And so Paul tells us to lay aside the weights and sins that so easily beset us and run with endurance your race. How? By keeping looking to Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Hey, don't keep your eyes on Pastor Shell. No. No. That's right. Don't keep your eyes on Elder Mihal. No. These are good men. They're godly men. And in many ways you can follow them. But you need to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus will never fail. Jesus will never fall. Jesus will never lay you down. All of us make mistakes, but Jesus doesn't. Hallelujah. Amen. So keep your eyes on him. I know people who have stopped running their race because somebody offended them. Because somebody hurt their feelings. I'm done. You know, people treat me that way. I'm done. No. Run your race. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep following Christ no matter what. Keep going the way God wants you to go. Don't allow yourself to be influenced by other people. And so you lose sight of the race God has you to run. Get quiet before God. You know, if we're not careful, we're just on the run all the time. All kinds of noise. Noise. Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, we're surrounded by noise all the time, right? I mean, I fly all the time, and I look around the airport, and everybody's looking down. What are they doing? Noise. Distracted constantly by this thing. All the time. Years ago, a guy by the name of Leighton Ford, who was an associate of Billy Graham, I think he was a relative of Billy Graham, he said, in perpetual motion, listen to this is a good word, in perpetual motion, I can mistake the flow of my adrenaline for the moving of the Holy Spirit. You hear that? In perpetual motion, I can mistake the flow of my adrenaline for the moving of the Holy Spirit. How many ever got excited about something you realized it wasn't God? That happened to me more times than I can count. Woo! Woo! This is wonderful. And the Lord is up there kind of chuckling at us and saying, well, yeah, just hold on here. So get quiet. That's something, that's an art that isn't very much used today, is just sitting quietly before God and letting God speak to your heart. Learn to get quiet before God, and it'll help you stay running your race. A rabbi many years ago by the name of Zuzia, he said this: in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zuzia? I'm haunted by something. When I get to heaven, how many are planning on being there? Amen. All right, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what haunts me is I don't want to stand before Jesus and have him say, you lived a good life. Your name's written in the book of life. Your sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. Dave, you missed it. I had so much more for you. If you would have only had an ear to hear my voice. God, I don't want that to happen. God, help us to run our race. Help us to know what it is. And help us to run the race that you have set before us. And may we finish it, Lord. May we just not get excited and start it. And look good and have the right shoes and the right outfit. And make all the right noises and say all the right stuff. And look spiritual. But God, help us to finish the race that you have for us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There are so many examples in the Bible of people who began the race but never finished it. In the Old Testament, there's a king by the name of Asa in 2 Chronicles 16. He ran the race faithfully for 36 years. 36 years. But he entered into a covenant with Syria, and he's confronted by a prophet of God by the name of Hanani. And when Hanani confronts him, he becomes defensive, becomes angry, becomes bitter. Are you teachable? Yes. You willing to receive correction? Yes. How many know that's one of the hardest things to do is receive correction? I mean, especially from your spouse. Amen? I can receive correction from almost anybody, but when Colleen gives me correction, I gotta suck it in, you know. I gotta receive that, right? That's right. But we need to be people who are open to being corrected. Amen. Amen. And this guy, this king, after 36 years of walking faithfully before God, became bitter. And he put the prophet in stocks, which is, you know, arms and legs and stocks, all right? And he never recovered. He died a bitter man. Joash, another example. Joash is this young boy who is raised up to be king. And it's a beautiful story. It's a wonderful story. And the high priest Jehoiada really treats him like a son, and mentors him from being a young boy king to being an adult king. And for 40 years, Joash faithfully serves God. One day, Jehoiada, the high priest, dies, and the princes that are around Joash begin to influence him. Begins to abandon the things of God. God faithfully sends prophets, but he wouldn't pay attention to them. And finally, the Spirit of God comes upon Zechariah, not the one who wrote the book of Zechariah, but another Zechariah, who was the son of Jehoiada. Now listen, the son of Jehoiada, Zechariah, and Joash were raised as brothers, right? And Zechariah confronts his stepbrother and says, you're going the wrong direction. And Joash is so consumed by the deception he's received that he has his brother stoned to death. And he never recovers. He never recovers. Another example is Uzziah. For 52 years, he follows after God. And 2 Chronicles 26 tells us the story. And it's an amazing story of a man that went to war successfully against the Philistines. God helped him, it says in verse 7, against the Philistines, against the Arabians, and against the Moonites, and against the Ammonites, and all of these different ones. And Uzziah built towers, and he had large herds, and he was a farmer and a vine dresser, and he loved the soil, and he had this huge army that was fit for war, some 307,000 soldiers who could make war with mighty power to help the king. And Uzziah prepared for all the army with shields and spears and helmets and coats of mail and bows and stoves for slinging. In Jerusalem, he made engines invented by skillful men to be put on the towers and the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, and he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his own destruction. And one day Uzziah goes into the temple and he takes the incense burner in his hand. And the priests hear about it. This is just like a movie. The priests hear about it. And 80 priests and the high priest come running into the temple and says, stop! Don't do this! This isn't your place. You're the king, but you're not the priest. But in his pride, he lifts up the incense burner with the intent of, I am going to offer sacrifice to the Lord. And leprosy breaks out on his forehead. And all the priests back off. And he backs off. And he dies a leper. Fifty-two years of living faithfully for God, making right decisions. But then pride in the end brings him down. May we finish our race. When Paul came to the end of his life and he looked back, he said, I fought a good fight and I've finished the race God gave me. May that be your legacy. May you finish the race God has called you to run. Praise be unto God. And lastly this morning, fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. The word keep there is a military term. It means to guard. It means to guard with watchfulness. Guard with watchfulness. I want to close by saying we're living in unusual days. Surprising days. Days when I see people who know better are turning away from the Word of God. Are turning away from the absolutes of Scripture. It makes no sense to me. There are people in great, even Pentecostal denominations who are turning away from what is absolutely clear in the Word of God. And I want to just make reference to this morning as I close. 2 Timothy 4 says, the time is coming when they will not endure sound doctrine. 1 Timothy 4 says, in the latter times they will depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Jude tells us that certain people crept in unawares, pervert the grace of God into sensuality. That is happening today. The word of God is being perverted by people who not that long ago were true to the word of God and preached a pure gospel, but no longer. And when Paul came to the end of his life, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my race, but I also guarded the absolutes of Scripture. I guarded the truth of the word of God. If you remember in Acts chapter 20, he tells the elders of Ephesus that fierce wolves, not sparing the flock, will come in amongst you, speaking twisted things. May we stand true to the reality of the word of God. It may cost us something to do that in the days ahead. It may cost us something. May we remain true. When the scripture is clear, may we stand fast in the authority of God's word. Father, this morning I pray in the name of Jesus that you will go before us, that you will make crooked places straight, that you would break gates of brass and the bars of iron, that you'd make a way where there seems to be no way for us, Lord. I pray, O God, over all of our lives, my life, over all of our lives this morning, may we fight a good fight. May we finish the race. And may we keep true to your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
What a word. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Pastor Dave, for that awesome word. We're in a fight. And I think over time, it gets harder to fight. Whether it's complacency or whether it's just tiredness. But we must continue to fight. And that is an awesome reminder for us in this day and age when so much is happening. And I know it's not easy to remain faithful to the Word of God. It's not easy to overcome the challenges and even the strategies that come before us. There is a mindset that the world has that is so convincing. But the word of God says there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way of death. And we're living in a day and age where people, governments, are causing people to walk in the way of death rather than the way of faith. So we must fight and we must finish by faith in God, holding on to the truths of God. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we are so thankful for this word that you have given us. We are so thankful for Pastor Dave, and Lord, you use him in so many awesome ways. His outreach ministry with Great Commission Media, and his personal ministry as he ministers around the country, as he travels to the various pastors and staff that you bring into his life. And Lord, he has been such a faithful mentor to not only me, but so many others. And Lord, you have used him. And our desire, Lord, is that you would continue to strengthen him. Strengthen him as he continues on in the work of the Lord. We pray, God, that you would continue to mold him and shape him, raise him up, enable him, Lord, to also finish. That he would continue to be the light, not only in life, but even in death, of the witness of the kingdom of God. We thank you for the word that you have given him to share with us. And that, Lord, we would take heed and apply these principles in our life. We thank you for victory today. We thank you, Lord, for victory today. We thank you, Lord, for victory today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor, all the praise, oh God. Open our eyes that we may see. Enable us to have ears to hear, that we may walk in the faith of God, in the power of God, under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, be glorified in our lives. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for all these things that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you desire to support the work of this ministry, you can give online. You can go into missions and select missions. And in missions, you'll see Dave Ogren and Great Commission Media, and you'll be able to select his ministry as an option for giving if you desire to continue to give. Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord has truly spoken to you today, and that you have heard the word of the Lord, that you will walk victoriously through yet another week. Hallelujah. And that your today will continue to flourish and be great. And as you go through the week, the hand of God would go before you. I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke the devourer. I rebuke the devourer. And I pray the Spirit of the Lord, that he would rise up, that you would hear his voice, and that you would have the ability to be more than conquerors, overcoming every obstacle that would come your way, every deceptive thought that would hinder you and prevent you from prevailing beyond the tongue, that you would be able to carry the mantle of God as a divine witness into the world as you live it, bringing down strongholds and everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Occupy the house, saints of God. Occupy the house. And may the Spirit of the Lord enable you to prevail beyond these times. Amen. 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 Worship team. Let's worship as we go out.
Holy Spirit, rest.